Hello and welcome to a special episode of The Essential Listen presented by Colonial Brewing Co. Port Melbourne. I'm Megan Hustrate and we're here at Crown Palladium for the long lunch where we'll be joined by a special guest or two ahead of the 15th Dreamtime at the G match against Richmond. We'll also preview a huge weekend of footy with our AFL, VFL, VFLW and wheelchair teams all taking on the Tigers while we'll bring you our top five Indigenous Bombers, or Deadly Dons as we like to call them. And it's great to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Rowan Connolly. How are you, Ro?
I'm good, Megs. Great to be here. This is always a great round, Indigenous round. You know, we honour some of the greatest contributors to the game we've seen. The long walk is such a big deal, and it's great to be at this function. And it's also, most importantly, great to be back on the winners list. However unattractive it was last week, it was still a win. So pretty happy about that.
Casey Chambers style, it wasn't pretty enough, but
we
got the points, and that's all that matters. We'll touch on the win over Freo in a moment. But the Tigers on Saturday night in the Dreamtime game, can we finally knock them off?
Oh, we can. It's going to be tough. No doubt about that. I mean, they've won the last eight meetings. So I think you've got to go back to 2014 for the last win. And had a good look at the Tigers last week against Hawthorn, and they were pretty impressive. One man in particular, a certain Brownlow medalist from 2 years ago, Dustin Martin really clicked into gear, so he's going to take some stopping. We know how good a side there are, but we also know our side's pretty capable as well. So it's a great challenge. You know, a win is crucial, 4-5. It'd be nice to get back on even terms and as far as a win-loss tally goes. So we're a chance.
Chance to square the ledger. Before we take a look at this Saturday night's game against the Tigers, let's touch on our win over the Dockers. Ro, you were there. It wasn't pretty, as we said, but it was a gritty win, and a win is a win, and we got the 4 points.
We did, and you can't say a heap more than that, to be perfectly honest. I mean, look, if I was scathing, there were a lot of skill errors. Now, you know, a fair bit of that down to pressure. I mean, Ross Lyon's sides are always very good at applying defensive pressure. I think probably the most positive thing out of it is that, you know, we associate Essendon's good performances with a free-flowing, fairly attacking, running sort of game, and they just weren't able to play that the way the Dockers set up. So really it was a case of winning any way you can, and in this case it was pretty scrappy. And I thought we scrapped it out pretty well. And at the key moments, we were able to have the superior outside game, I think. And if you have a look, I was just having a look at the stats before, and they're all pretty even, probably except for uncontested possessions, which Essendon had a bit of an edge in. So I just think a little bit of superior running power on the outside made the difference. Dylan Scheel, wasn't it great to see him bob up and actually kick a couple of goals?
He kicked it.
And they were crucial goals too. And Anthony McDonald, Tippin Woody, of course, the talisman. When he kicks a goal, Essendon wins. So hopefully we'll see him on the score sheet this week. I thought the defence was really solid too. You know, and a couple of guys in particular, I thought Mac Guelfi was terrific. Probably the best game I think I've seen him play for the Bombers. And Mason Redmond, his development just continues.
Yeah, well, Mason spoke on RSN this week and said that the word grit was bandied around pre-game and focusing on our defensive structures and systems and ball movement rather than zeroing in too much on Fremantle. And Guelfi, fantastic as well. I loved this quote from him on the Essendon website, "I believe I belong," was such a great quote, and he played that way on Saturday night.
Yeah, well, he's the toughest looking boy band member I think I've ever seen. He's the tough one in the ensemble of likely boy band members, isn't he? You know, just as an aside, I was doing the boundary for 3AW on Saturday night, right behind the Essendon bench, and certain John Worsfold coaching down from the bench, which was a different look. I was pretty confident, though, I wasn't going to hear or see too many explosions from him. As we know, he keeps his emotions pretty much in check. But, I think they're the sort of wins that you have to have if you're aspiring to be a top eight side. Yeah, it's great to be able to play the game on your terms, but I think the really good sides are able to win in a variety of ways, even when you're below your best, even when the other side is making it difficult to open the game up. So I think from that point of view, it was a pretty valuable learning experience, and I know coaches often say learning experience when you lose. This was learning experience and we won. Mm.
And character building too, particularly with quite a lot of young players stepping up and impacting that victory. Okay, let's take a quick break. On the other side, we'll run through the team changes and preview our dream time at the G blockbuster. Ro, I saw you on the phone before. You weren't taking selfies again, were you?
No, nor answering text messages. What I was doing, Megs, I was having a look at this great new game launched by Essendon's co-major partner, Fujitsu General. It's called Bombers Flick Footy. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Well, wait till you hear about it. It allows you to choose from four of your favourite players, Dyson Heppel, Anthony McDonald Tippenwoody, Joe Danaher and Orazio Fantasia, and compete against fellow Bombers fans for weekly prizes.
I'm jumping on now. Head to snnfc.com.au. Team time on The Essential Listen, and Ro, two changes for Saturday night's big game against Richmond. Take us through them.
Well, they are big changes, Megs, and can't lie, one of them is not good. And unfortunately, Joe Danaher not only out for the Dreamtime game, out for the rest of the season. A groin problem. We saw this last year. He played the first eight games last year before succumbing, and around the same time this year. So really unfortunate. We saw in his three games back that he had plenty to give this year. So it's a blow, and there's no sugarcoating it, really. So he's out. Mark Bagley also out, coming into the team. And here's a positive. Well, two positives, actually. Sean McKernan, who played so well in that season-turning win over Melbourne in round three. And Jaden Laverty, we know how he's had his share of injuries, played really well in the VFL last week, and he is back in harness as well. So two decent forwards coming back into the team, but a very big name, unfortunately. Won't see him again in 2019.
Gee, it is such a blow, isn't it? And losing our best and fairest winners from the last 2 years, Joe and then Devon Smith also out for the season. Very disappointing news, but I guess with crisis brings opportunity. Two forwards in this week and Mitch Brown to come as well. So hopefully some good news there. And as you said, we saw some great glimpses from Sean McKernan against the Demons, and he's going to get some pretty big opportunities for the rest of 2019.
Yeah, and I think too, I mean, if you want some grains of hope with this, I mean, Joe missed the equivalent period of last year, and that was also when Essendon really turned their season around. So from that point of view, what the forward setup went through last year without him is great preparation, I suppose, for doing it again. And I'm a big Sean McKernan fan. I'm a big Mitch Brown fan too, and he'll be back
we
in harness.
We are the fan club.
Sooner than later. Yeah, no, I think those two can be really important to that whole forward structure. So, fortunately, yeah, I mean, it's not great news, but a couple of weeks ago it would have been even worse news. At least now there's a few replacements on the horizon.
We've got injuries, but so do Richmond. Let's start with their ruckman, Nankervis and Ivan Soldo, who was suspended during the week. Mm. How big an advantage is that for us and disadvantage for Richmond?
Yeah, reasonable. I mean, they've got a young guy, Noah Bolter, who might find himself sort of pursuing some more senior duties than he's had thus far. Very highly rated, though, and he looks a really likely type. Look, I think for Richmond, the rucks aren't always necessarily about winning the hitouts. It's about their presence around the ground. So Nankervis, he's already been a bit of a loss for them, not being able to exert that physical presence. I thought Soldo did pretty well last week in his absence, actually. So he's a loss too. Look, basically, you can get around not having a dominant ruckman on the from a Richmond perspective. On the other hand, though, if you're Essendon and Tom Bell Chambers, you'd be looking at that and thinking, you know, now's my time to shine. And it really gives the ground level players of the midfield a chance to even the ledger, so to speak. And, you know, look, I mean, they're far from the only absentees for the Tigers too. Still no Trent Cotchin. Alex Rance won't be back for the rest of the season. Jack Riewoldt's still quite some time off, and Jaden Short as well. Essendon, now Danaher out, no Smith, no Fantasia. It's a bit of the walking wounded about this Dreamtime game.
Yeah, and it brings it back, you know, to the field, doesn't it? With we're both missing some of our biggest stars and key position players, goal kickers, midfielders. So it certainly gives us a chance against a Richmond that's not going to be full strength. And of course, we're looking to break this hoodoo against them that goes back to 2014 in the Dreamtime game. Dustin Martin is a man that we're going to need to stop and nullify his impact if we are to get the win on Saturday night. He's produced some big games against us, winning the Yokin Award twice in this fixture.
Yeah, well, he produces big games against everyone, doesn't he? But I thought last week, from his perspective, was really significant. I mean, he changed his boots. He went back to his 2017 boots, those lime green numbers. But whatever it was, it really worked, because that was the Dusty that won the Brownlow, and both out of the middle and up forward. So he kicked a couple up forward. He went into the middle. He won 6 of their 14 centre clearances for the game. So huge presence at those centre bounces. So whoever is assigned those, not tagging duties, but minding him at those bounces, is really going to have to be on their toes. We know how good his disposal is, and we know how dangerous he is when he switches forward for some of those pinch-hitting spells near goal. So he's obviously a priority. But look, I mean, Richmond, it sounds funny to say it about a premiership side, but I reckon there are still a number of players in their lineup who are really underrated, and we've seen how good they can be as the stars of a side have gone down injured at the start of this year. I think they've been really good, with Tigers, the way they've sort of battled through that list of injuries. So I thought they went up another cog against the Hawks last week, ended up winning by about 6 goals. In terms of our performances against them, this equivalent game last year, actually, rarely for me, I sat right up in the top deck in the southern stand, and it wasn't pretty viewing, I've got to say. But what you really could see was just how effectively Richmond defend their forward territory. And it basically just got into this pattern of Essendon desperately trying to clear the decks from the back 50. Richmond would set up a wall of players about 10 metres outside that 50-metre arc, and the ball just kept ping-ponging back every time Essendon was trying to clear it. I remember Michael Hurley sort of frantically looking for openings and not being able to find too many of them. There were a number of turnover goals in that game, and that's the Tigers' modus operandi. I mean, that intense forward pressure. You know, we know those small forwards they've got and how deadly they can be. So we've got to find a way around that. And the way you do that is by pinpointing your disposal, you know, so we'd need to clean that up a fair bit from last week, I think. You look for targets over the back of that forward press, so that requires some decent sort of long kicking as well. And you do it with run. So, you know, it's all hands on deck, basically, in terms of beating Richmond. You need your runners going, you need to be smart about how you distribute the ball, and you need to bring your contested game as well.
And at the other end of the ground, it was a big week for Waller last week, but this round is another big one.
Well, we mentioned he's the talisman, haven't we? I mean, he kicks goals, Essendon tend to win. What do you think he can bring to the table this week that'll help us get over the line?
Well, I think that speed and the excitement and the work ethic that we saw against Fremantle, as well as the 3 goals, will be crucial. We know he hasn't got Raz out there as that support, but I think given the fixture and the occasion, some really good opportunities for him to step up and make this night his own. He hasn't had the best record against Richmond, though. He's kicked just 2 goals from our last 5 meetings against them. So I think the scene is set for Waller to make this weekend his own.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously having Fantasia out sort of increases that defensive pressure responsibility on him too. One stat I did notice from last week was that Freo did have quite a few more tackles inside 50, and that's just so important. And I mean, Waller knows that, but just if he can, you know, land a few decent tackles on some Richmond defenders trying to escape their territory, that will just be so valuable.
As mentioned, Saturday night will mark the 15th Dreamtime at the G, and we're here at Crown Palladium for the long lunch to mark the significant milestone. Coming up, we'll catch up with a very special guest.
And in this International Year of the World's Indigenous People, may I announce to you the 1993 winner of the Norm Smith Medal is Michael Long of Essendon.
All right, well, we always get the big guests here on The Essential Listen, and in Sir Doug Nicholls' round, none bigger on the day of long lunch than the great man himself, Michael Long. Very honoured to have him as a guest on this podcast. How are you, Longy?
Yeah, pretty good. It's been a real big week and nearly start this morning, but look, it's been an amazing, this year, the start of this year and the round. Obviously, last year was a little bit sick. I think I was staring at four walls, I reckon, this time last year. So I'm really proud to be the ambassador for the AFL this year with Pastor Doug Nichols and here today for the second function of the Long Lunch.
15 years of the Dreamtime game. Second year of the Long Lunch, the Long Walk has been a huge success for a long time. Can you believe where those years have gone?
Yeah, well, someone asked me that the other day, and who would have thought, we would have been sitting at the Crown Casino with 600 people at the Walk and Dreamtime at the G, and over 85,000 people going to be there this weekend. You sit and wonder, and talking to some of our original Long Walkers, this. You'd never thought it would end up like this.
Well, you've become such a, not just a statesman of the game, but I guess a statesman for your people. And a bit self-indulgent, but I don't know if you remember this. I did the first interview with you after you arrived in Melbourne at the end of 1988, or it might have been early 89, out at Windy Hill.
It wouldn't have been much of a conversation.
It wasn't. It was one of the most difficult interviews I've ever done. And just do you often shake your head and think about where life's taken you? And you must be incredibly proud of what you've achieved.
Not that I reflect too much, but football's taught me a lot of these skills and life skills, and the coach, I don't have to say much more what he's done and give me an opportunity to play at the Essendon Football Club. It's helped me in a lot of different ways, but obviously I've used that platform to do what we do now with the Long Walk and with the Leadership Centre in Darwin and our programs here through Victoria with the Essendon Football Club. If you had a crystal ball, you'd see where you're going to end up, but sometimes life takes you on different journeys, and that's what it's done to me during my career and after my career. And I've had some wonderful people over that journey who's guided me, and I've part of that success or being able to give back has been important, because of working with the kids. You were once those glary-eyed kids, and and I didn't do well at school, but you just knew as part of our programs that it's important they had school, balance, football. If you could balance that and put the same energy into it, you'd have more kids being more successful. It's taught me so many things, and I'm grateful for that opportunity. I'm grateful that the Essendon Football Club has given me that opportunity. The players I've played with have taught me that. People like Simon Madden and Terry Danaher, Derek Kickett, players who come in and out of your life and are still lifelong friends. So I've been blessed by that, but it hasn't been easy, and it's hard work like anything in life.
Norm MacDonald was a pioneer on and off field as the first Indigenous player to play for Essendon. How do you feel seeing the generations continue at the Bombers? Jake's here now. We've got Tiwi Bombers girls with our VFLW side, and Courtney Ugle is our Indigenous captain too of the side.
Yeah, well, it's just grown enormously, and it's just reflecting this morning, with on radio. Years ago, when we first started the Dreamtime at the G, you couldn't get anything in the paper, and now you see all of that work with jumpers and people's history and their artwork on the. It's been a momentum of all clubs that have done this, and to bring it to where it is today and the players. Look at the club, its history. I actually was presented Norm MacDonald's jumper number four when I first got here, and then Gavin got it and won a Brownlow. Not that I was going to win one, but Norm I met a few times, Dickie Reynolds always spoke about Norm MacDonald, what type of player he was. He was Crichton Medal winner. I think two premierships. I think he even ran the Stork Gift.
Yeah, came third, didn't he?
Runner-up.
Oh, runner-up.
Won the Bendigo Gift, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he was very gifted. But, look, it was 40 years later that we drafted another optional player and I was part of that group. But since then, you know, there's, I think, Sheedy, his vision to look at Australia, look at the next, looking for the next Maurice Rioli. And it takes someone with vision and I said, we're going to do this. And it's had a rippling effect with all clubs.
Yeah.
You know, and it hasn't just taken one person. Other clubs have seen what Maurice Rioli did and obviously Nicky Winmar and Sheeds to draft so many at that time. And I truly believe other clubs followed in his footsteps.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, a trickle became a flood. You know, and the Indigenous population of the AFL now, it's around 10%, isn't it? Which
yep.
is a great figure. I mean, football now can be pretty proud, I think, of how it deals with the Indigenous issues. But it certainly wasn't always the case. And, I mean, in that sense, you're an absolute pioneer. Of course, that famous incident on Anzac Day with Damien Monkhurst. I mean, no one would have dreamed what that would be the genesis of. But can you recall your thoughts at the time and what motivated you to sort of put your foot down and say, hang on, I'm not copying this anymore?
Well, I think it sort of come out of, I mean, a few incidents happened earlier as a young player coming into the league. So you sort of were trying to win a spot in the side. And I suppose as he became a mature player, I thought, this is enough. You know, I need to stand up for others or other players who are going to come through. Look, when it did happen, I suppose the league at that time, I think Tony Peake was instrumental with this and there was Gilbert McAdam, Shea was there. Michael McLean, myself, and Ross Oakley. Yeah, so they tackled it head on, you know, and I think the game's better for it. Obviously, there's challenges. I mean, I still remember, you know, and I think I feel where Adam was at, you know, with death threats, with the spotlight on you. Now social media is a big issue. But, you know, take my hat off to football, to sport, and I challenge anyone who's done more. Racialification has changed attitudes. The media, our supporters, our clubs, our coaches. You look at this weekend, 85,000. How many millions are going to watch us? I'd debate with anyone. Football's done more for Australian community. To have an impact and change attitudes.
So when you see that, how football embraces all this and you continue to hear and see and read about problems people have embracing Indigenous peoples and Indigenous communities, it's a bit sad, isn't it? So, like, why can't the rest of society take on board these lessons and why haven't we made more progress more quickly than we have?
Yeah. And look, this is across the board. This is a global issue and it's in all sports that we struggle with and it's bigger than footy. But I think sporting icons, when you go back in history with Lionel Rose was Aboriginal, but when he came back, people wasn't worried about his colour.
Mm.
He was Australian, he was a champion. Cathy Freeman, you know, we all love her. It wasn't about her colour, you know. And that's what I love about sport. That's what I love about what past players have done. I love what Damien Monkhurst has done to actually change the course of history. Damien has been a big force behind the change, the attitudes, the Collingwood Football Club. They've been a part of this. There's no one person as it's the momentum. It's actually the clubs, it's the players, the momentum has been around the force of the media, the AFL, that's played all over Australia.
let's hope it continues.
Well, Longy, it's been an absolute honour to share some time with you and hear your thoughts and experiences on the Essential Listen today. Big day for you here at the Long Lunch with the Long Walk 2 and then Dreamtime at the J on Saturday night. We wish you all the best for the week and thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, no worries.
Well, time for a short break. Up next, our top five deadly dons.
Head to Federation Square from 1 p.m. on Saturday as the Long Walk celebrates its 15th anniversary in style. A star-studded lineup of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists will take to the stage, while there will be a variety of sporting and cultural activities and a community barbecue to enjoy. It will all culminate in the Long Walk to the G, set to leave from Fed Square at 5:30. Follow at Long Walk Oz on Twitter for all the updates.
Welcome back to The Essential Listen, presented by Colonial Brewing Co, Port Melbourne. Well, we've just heard from the one and only Michael Long. Megs, you've prepared your top five Indigenous bombers of all time, or our deadly dons, as we call them. And I'm guessing you got Longy at number one.
Well, this Dreamtime occasion is very much about reflecting on the past and our heritage. But at number five, I've got a current bomber and also a bright light for the future, and it is Waller. Rocco, can you believe he's already played 75 games?
No, I can't. I would have thought it was 50-something, but then you think about it. I mean, it's his fourth season. It's gone so quickly, but it's such a great story, isn't it? You know, I think most of us by now are familiar with his path to a senior AFL career. And I think, like a lot of people, I sort of first had a good look at him playing in the VFL finals in 2015 and almost became a cult figure before he'd even played a senior game. And the push was on to get him onto the list. So it was great to see that happen. And he just hasn't missed a beat since he started. He's so explosive. His tackling and hard defensive running really lift everyone else in the side. He's just great to watch.
Rookied at the end of 2015, he's kicked 60 goals across the last two seasons and, of course, wears the number 43 made famous by another deadly don, Dean Rioli.
Did you squeeze him in?
No, he's an honourable mention and Ooh. There's quite a few of them.
Yeah, no, well, really good player for the Bombers, Dean Rioli. So unlucky to miss out on that 2000 premiership with injury and played in the 2001 grand final, which we lost, unfortunately. But beautiful mover, just so graceful the way he moved across the turf. And, if he's missing out, there's definitely quality in that list.
It's a pretty strong list. Let's move to number four, and I've got Paddy Ryder, 170 games for the Bombers between 2006 and 2014, 117 goals, an Anzac Day medal in 2009, and I still remember his debut against Sydney in round one like it was yesterday.
It's a bit of a heartbreaker, that one, isn't it? Obviously no longer with the club and still playing really good football for Port Adelaide, but yeah, terrific player. And he had success in a variety of positions, really. Key defender, he played some great games as a key forward, and then in the ruck, I think that's where he really blossomed, wasn't it? And of course, that famous Anzac Day game of 2009, we all talk about David Zaharakis, but you cannot overlook Paddy's contribution to that. Won the Anzac medal, of course, thanks to me for switching my votes at the last minute. You still owe me for that, Paddy.
We can't do a list without mentioning that story,
can we? No, a bit self-indulgent, I know. But he really led from the front that day. And I think at that moment, people thought, wow, you know, this guy is a ruckman. And he's continued to be one of the foremost ruckmen in the competition.
At number three, our very first Indigenous player at Essendon, Norm MacDonald. And what a CV he has. He was a halfback flanker and he was named in the All-Aboriginal Team of the Century. He was a pioneer too for inclusion of Indigenous people to Australian rules. 128 games, two flags, a best and fairest, and he was a pioneer, that's for sure.
Well, I'll never forget the first time I saw Norm play in that 1949 grand final. You think I'm old enough to have seen him play, don't you? I'm not. No, look, from all accounts, he was one of the absolute greats. And really, I mean, until Michael Long came to the club, He wasn't the only Indigenous player Essendon had, but certainly far and away, I think, the most revered. And just that was such a great era for the club, 1940s, early 50s. And you talk to anyone involved with it, and they just sing Norm MacDonald's praises. Just a player a little bit ahead of his time, so they say.
He came in at number 33 in the Champions of Essendon back in 2002. And here's a little trivia fact. He was the runner-up in the 1952 Stall Gift.
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
I didn't know that. Yeah, well, he's renowned for his pace, obviously. So, fantastic player for the Bombers in a golden era for the club.
Number two, still not getting over the departure of this man to Port Adelaide, Gavin Wanganeen. 124 games for the Bombers, a Brownlow, a flag, three-time All-Australian, and one of the original Baby Bombers.
And one of life's great human beings as well. He's a terrific guy, Gav, and what a player. And I don't know about you, Megs, but I think anyone who remembers, you think about that glorious 1993 season and the Baby Bombers, but one image that immediately comes to mind when you think of 1993 is Wanganeen playing in the back pocket, just flinging himself at the ball, taking, lost count of how many incredibly courageous marks, but just inspiring everyone with that courage. I mean, the rubber man, that's what they called him, and he'd fling his body at anything and more often than not come up with a ball. An inspired move by Shees to move him to a back pocket, where, of course, he won the Brownlow. And, what a year that was. I wish we could go back there.
We might watch the grand final on VHS after we finish the Essential Listen today. And at number one, nobody else but Michael Long, 190 games for Essendon, which is the most by an Indigenous footballer. His career bookended by two flags, 1993 and 2000. Norm Smith medalist in 93, All-Australian in 95. That blistering pace.
Well, what's the image you think of when you say Michael Long? I dare say 99 people out of 100 would recall that incredible run in the 93 grand final and that low skimming shot that Steve Silvani still reckons he touched, but
turn it up, sauce.
Tough luck, sauce. It was a goal. Check the scoreboard. Longie, again, we talked about Gavin Wanganeen in 1993 being a turning point, and it really was for Longie as well. I mean, that he'd been at the club for, that was his fifth season, and he played some great footy before 93, obviously, but it tended to be a bit more sporadic. Even at the start of 93, he had some issues. He got suspended a couple of times, and it was a pretty interrupted season. But he just got better the longer the season went, and then he just put it all together in one of the great individual final series. And when you talk about 93, it's such an amazing year. I mean, the Baby Bombers winning the flag, it was the year of the Indigenous people. Gavin Wanganeen won the Brownlow medal, and Longie won the Norm Smith medal, and just the perfect cap to an incredible season from him. And after that, he just did it on almost a weekly basis for so long. And then, of course, the other significant moment, Michael Long's career really off the field, but it did happen on the field, the incident on Anzac Day 1995 with Damien Monkhurst. And when you talk about the change in attitudes towards Indigenous players, the two incidents which really are right at the heart of that are Nicky Winmar at Victoria Park in 1993 and then Longie in 95 on Anzac Day. And, he refused to be satisfied by what was a fairly sort of half-hearted attempt at an apology. And he really started that sort of education process, I guess, among the AFL administrators who, to their credit, took it on board and really started spreading that very important message through the football community. And I think the AFL can say with some pride that as a sporting organisation, they have been conscious of and on board with the rights of Indigenous, not just footballers, but Indigenous people for 25 years now.
A leader, an incredible contributor on and off field, Michael Long comes in at number one on my Deadly Dons list.
Now, we've got to mention a couple of unfortunate omissions. Now, one absolute favourite of mine, Megs. Now, again, very unlucky to miss out in the 1993 Premiership. But in 1992, the Bombers started to sort of put it together. And this man, Derek Kickett, he held that season together for the Bombers. He played some absolutely amazing footy. Was part of the 1990 Grand Final side, which was beaten by Collingwood, unfortunately. But Derek in 92, he kicked eight goals against Footscray in a game late in 1993 as well. But 92, he was just playing like a man possessed. And I'll never forget with him the image of in that famous comeback game against Melbourne in 92, and they came back from 47 points down in the last quarter, scores Essendon 1 point in front, the ball going through for a point for Melbourne, Derek flinging himself running with the flight of the ball and smashing into the point post, but still taking the mark and saving the game being tied. Fantastic player for the Bombers. What about another one who I think you would have had to have considered, Shea Cockatoo Collins?
Yes, he was one of my childhood favourites in the 90s, and an apology to Courtney Dempsey as well.
And Nathan Lovett Murray, of course, who they bred him tough.
Oh, and he played a lot of games over a long time for the Bombers, but that's my top five row. We've probably got more apologies than numbers in the list, but so says our great history here at Essendon with our Indigenous players.
No, I can't argue. I think you've done a very good job with that, Megs, and looking forward to next week's top five from you, which will be top five boy bands.
Matt Guelfi, a hot favourite for number one. Time for a break on the Essential Listen. On the other side, we're talking VFL, VFLW and wheelchair footy.
Time now to talk about other Essendon teams. There's a few of them these days, and a big weekend coming up. A triple header of sorts in the Yarra Park precinct. The VFLW and the VFL playing at Punt Road midday, 2:30 p.m. before the big Dreamtime game, just a few hundred metres away at the MCG.
Saturday day and night sorted, that's for sure. Our VFL side returned to the winners list with a 13-point win over Sandringham down at Trevor Barker Beach Oval last Sunday. Danny Unan kicked four goals, and fantastic to see David Myers respond after being omitted three goals and 29 possessions.
Yeah, great to see Myersy back in form. He knows he's been down on form and a bit of confidence lately, so really important return to some form for him. Big game in the VFL this week. You got first playing second. Of course, the Tigers have been pretty strong in VFL for a couple of years now. But good looking side, I think, this week, Megs. Marty Gleeson probably coming back. Tom Jock, Trent Minot, who was playing some good footy before he got injured. And also, fingers crossed, Mitch Brown.
It was Heartbreak City again for our VFLW Bombers, who suffered another nail-biting loss, 5 points to Geelong down in Colac. But we're set to field a very strong side on Saturday against the Tigers, who have won their only game and are predicted for a strong year ahead of their inaugural AFLW season. They, of course, had a bit of a recruiting spree in the off-season, landing Katie Brennan, Sabrina Frederick-Traub and Monique Conti.
Yeah, a bit of a who's who, that list of Richmond recruits. You'd expect them to be pretty strong in their first AFLW season. Also, in the VWFL, our boys had a bye last week, but the Dons will be looking to back up their 40-point round one win over the Saints at Burundara Sports Complex, 11 a.m. on Sunday.
Well, that wraps up another bumper edition of the Essential Listen, live from Crown Palladium and the Long Lunch today. Rowan, how fabulous was it to catch up with the great Michael Long?
Oh, always a pleasure, Megs. A great man, and let's hope we honour him suitably with a victory over the Tigers. We'll be back next week ahead of our home game against the Blues.
Go Bombers!